welcome to your window into the latest that is unfolding in Sana'a, Yemen. I am your host, Yusuf Mari, and in this program, we bring to you all of the latest stories from the U.S. airstrikes that have attacked Yemen across the board and into the retaliatory attacks from Yemen's armed forces and Yemen's naval forces that are attacking not only Israel, but also the USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier that is currently patrolling in the Red Sea. Joining me today is Nuda Al-Gadasi. She is a political activist, a mother, and somebody who has firsthand experienced the latest wave of the U.S. airstrikes. Nuda, thank you for joining us today.
You are welcome.
My first question to you is, as a mother and as an activist, how has it been experiencing these U.S. airstrikes, particularly with civilians, including women and children? You know, can you tell us what type of psychological trauma are you and perhaps people that you know, children, experiencing in the midst of this U.S. aerial bombardment?
Okay, at first, women and children in Yemen are experiencing psychological trauma, especially children, because they are the main factors, the main victims in this long-term war. 80% of children are suffering from mental, physiological disorders, stress, anxiety, and depression. Mm-hmm. And also, according to this statistics, as according to local parties and organizations, these children suffers from stress, and they not lose just the beloved ones, their families or such like that, but they are suffering also from the destruction scenes and the strike scenes and the violence scenes and physiological situation that that threaten their physiological stability for the future. And on the other hand, there is a new escalation of displacement wave, internal displacement wave. There is a statistic reported that 5.1 million displaced people will be at the end of this year due to the war. According to Danish Refugee Council, Yemen ranks the fifth in the displacement, internal displacements, in the scale of internal displacements. And these children have, or women, the women also, have no chance maybe to return to their homes. And in their tents, in the displacement camps, they couldn't have any basic services. They suffer from lack of health and education and other things. A lot of impacts due to the war. And me, about myself, last week I were to I go to shopping with I went to shopping with my son. When one of the American aggression strikes hit the leadership in Tahrir Square, I was shocked, and exactly, I hugged my son and fear, and I saw how many of women and children in the markets and in the in shopping market running and screaming, and their children crying. These all impacts are threatens the stability of physiological of children.
You know, it's you know, when people are watching what's happening in Yemen, they see the airstrikes. You know, they don't really experience it. I spoke with Jackson Hinkle, the American anti-imperial activist who was he visited Yemen, and he got a chance. You know, he lives in the U.S. He got a chance to experience these U.S. air raids, and he could not believe it. You know, we talk about people seeing what's happening in Yemen, and you know, they're used to seeing it on movies in Hollywood, on Netflix, but it's definitely something else for those who experience the aerial bombardment, who experience the airstrikes, the weapons of mass destruction only yards away from where you are living. And of course, these U.S. air raids have targeted mostly civilian neighborhoods. So with that, I want to ask you, what do you think the main objective of the U.S. is with these airstrikes. They have their declared, you know, they're claiming that their attacks is to safeguard maritime traffic in Bab al-Mandab, that there's this imminent threat that the world faces from Yemen, and that Yemen is stopping the shipment in the Red Sea. This is what the U.S. and the Trump administration is declaring. However, I want to ask you, what do you think their real objective is in this military operations in Yemen?
Washington promotes its operations as war on maritime threats. Mm-hmm. But in fact, their goal is to break the blockade that imposed by Ansar Allah on the on the ships of Israeli occupation entity, who go and has a link with the Palestinian war. And their interest also, for their interest to protect the Israeli interests. And these strikes will not change the military equation, because U.S. are facing military and strategic crisis with dealing with this matter. And they didn't achieve any goals of their declared, as they said. And certainly the declared goals of America is contradict with the reality of doing. They are hitting civilians, building and civilian objects, hitting civilian and children, and making fair for children. And they are lying on their announced goals.
Mm-hmm.
The basic goals of their war is to protect the Israeli interests and to, because we are prevented them from continuing their war on Gaza. As the revolution leader says, may Allah protect him, that we will stop our operations against them in the Red Sea and other operations if they lift the blockade on Gaza Strip and enter the Ides to them. And our threat is not for other countries. Our threat is for the Israeli ships that go to Israel and go to the Israeli army to hit and continue their war on Gaza.
You know, there's a lot of U.S. Commentators, U.S. Influencers, including a very famous one, Candace Owens. She's been very, you know, she's condemned the Trump administration. She's condemning the U.S. government because she's, and you know, this is a big influencer. She's causing a lot of instability in U.S. media. And she's saying that basically the government, the U.S. government, is being blackmailed by Israel, that Israel is forcing U.S. politicians to act on U.S.'s, on Israel's interest, and that they are being forced to do so through blackmail. Meaning that, you know, if the U.S. politicians don't take the political stance that Israel wants the U.S. to take, then, you know, they extort them, they blackmail them, they threaten them, they threaten their lives. And this has caused sort of this, you know, a lot of discussion in U.S. politics. Do you think that Americans, the ordinary American, is starting to wake up to the reality of their government, you know, being a proxy entity for Israel? Because in Yemen, I think the general sentiment is that the U.S. is enacting on behalf of Israeli interests. But now the Americans, the ordinary Americans, are starting to see this, and they're starting to condemn their own government because they feel that their government has been hijacked by the international Israeli lobby.
American civilian, ordinary civilians, they were... they didn't know about Yemen before and what is happening here. And now they are seeing from other channels and social sites that what is happening in Yemen is crime, and their state is violating our state sovereignty in Yemen. They start to wake up and make marches to support Gaza Strip, and to saying that stop your crimes in other countries such as Yemen and Palestine. And they made demonstrations. And also in the same side, American state unveil their ugly face in front of their people. They start to prevent them from solidarity, to give solidarity with the Palestinian people. So the Trump administration start to prevent any marches or anyone who want to support Gaza Strip or to defend on the humanity. He started to take them in prison.
You know, Trump, when he was running for president, he said that he will end the wars in the Middle East. As soon as he came into power, he did the total opposite. He ignited wars in the Middle East. Again, you know, why do you think these U.S. politicians, what they say before they reach power, for example, Trump, you know, it seems like when they, you know, when they reach the White House, when they become president, they get a script and they do the total opposite of what they promised to do. Do you think that is it possible that he's being blackmailed? Is he being threatened? Is, you know, why is he being forced, or why is President Trump doing what the American people simply are opposed of?
Because they have special interests, and of course they blackmail them and threaten them. They cannot do anything without Israeli orders. Mm-hmm. Israel is the one who control America and control its policies. They have bilateral interests with them. So he cannot do what his people called for. He will, of course, do what the Zionist entity saying.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because, you know, in the Middle East and third world countries,
and they have special goals in the Middle East. They have wealth resources.
Right.
In Arab countries, we have a lot of wealth resources, oil and other things of resources. Mm-hmm. They want this. They want to control us.
Exactly. And that's exactly precisely the case with some countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and other countries across the Middle East. We're used to seeing them, you know, being allies or being in the pockets or being extension proxy states of the U.S. and perhaps even of Israel. But, you know, the world is just not used to seeing a superpower such as the United States become also a proxy state for Israel, for the illegal state of Israel. So it's just very interesting. Now, my third question I want to ask you is, you know, in the midst of this U.S. aerial campaign, most of what they have targeted is Yemen's public installations and key economic infrastructure, such as, you know, power transmission towers, government facilities, government buildings, roads. As you mentioned, you experienced firsthand their attack on a public road near a market here in the capital, Sana'a. But they're also targeting stone cutting yards. They're targeting steel factories. They're targeting the port of Hodeidah. Why are they targeting Yemen's economy? We've seen Saudi Arabia do this in the 2015-2021, which led to a humanitarian catastrophe. And now we're seeing the U.S., you know, Yemen is slowly but surely coming out of the humanitarian catastrophe that they were forced into. But now we see the U.S. attacking these vital lifelines of Yemen's economy. Why are they doing so?
Because if we have a strong economy, we will fight them. We will fight Israel entity. And we will be a strong power in the world, a main power in the world. So they didn't want to see any country stronger than them. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to control us. They wanted to take our wealth. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make us a fragile country without any economy. And obey them, you know. So they distract us. And before the aggression, the Saudi Emirati aggression, was not Saudi Emirati aggression. The real aggression was American aggression on us and Israeli aggression. They fight us, and they are just proxy. They want to take our resources and control us. So the ripple and even all that, the ripple will take and double, the ripple of our country will take long-term and long time to rebuild again our economy. And our economy is fragile because of the war, 10
mm-hmm.
year of war on our country. And our state wants to be at the level of good basic economy, but
mm-hmm.
we didn't have this because of the of this long war on us. And
why are they targeting the economy? What does the their declared goals were to safeguard, you know, according to them, to safeguard international shipping route, Bab el-Mandeb and the Red Sea. What is attacking power transmissions, steel factories, have anything to do with making, you know, with securing, according to them, securing their international shipping lane in Bab el-Mandeb?
We have a strategic position in the world. We have Bab el-Mandeb Strait and other strategic important sites that we can prevent them to do their plans in Gaza Strip. Because we prevented them from entering Gaza, entering weapons to Gaza Strip, so we control Bab el-Mandeb. We can control Bab el-Mandeb, and they want, and they wanted to enter the weapons and other things to Gaza Strip and help Israel, and we prevented them. So they, the main reason for their hitting the economy of our country is to prevent us from developing our capability of military capability
mm-hmm.
that will prevent them to triumph over us, and we defeat them. And even we have a lot of crisis in economic, and our economy is fragile, but we are stand strong, and we rebuild, and we enter every week a new weapon.
Mm-hmm.
As the Sayyid said, we will face the escalation with escalation, and we have, as he said in last speech, we have new unveiling new weapons that will enter the confrontation and will surprise them.
What do you think, when you mentioned that we've seen the military capabilities of Yemen's armed forces advance from, you know, just simply having just AK, you know rifles, when the movement, the Ansarullah movement first started, and to now having the hypersonic missiles, which are able to reach occupied Palestine from Yemen upon launching in less than 11 minutes.
Yesterday, I think we hit Truman
yeah.
for three times during 24 hours.
Right.
And we have ability to take the confrontations long time as we can.
How do you respond to the international silence or complicity with what's happening in Yemen in the face of these U.S. airstrikes? And what role do you think global civil society should be playing in what is happening in Yemen, the U.S. airstrikes? What role do you think they should be playing?
Our response is the same as the revolution leader says at his last speech, when he pointed his finger to the UN and the US, that they have the main role
mm-hmm.
in all these crimes and in supporting Israel and in committing brutal crimes in Yemen and in Gaza. And the international silence is one of the factors that made American and Israeli aggression dare to target the oppressed people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So even the situation, if America find anyone who condemned, just only condemned by saying their crimes, they prevented them to condemn the crimes of America and Israel in Gaza or in Yemen or in other world oppressed world. So we called the civil society of international society to do their duty, as at least to not dehumanize, dehumanize yourself. If your religion and your law and prevents you from saying or condemning these crimes, do not dehumanize these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at least condemn and what is happening in Palestine.
You know, it seems that, you know, the tone that they've adopted, even when they're trying to take a anti-war stance, it still seems that they're parroting the same narrative, right? And you know, that is always a lame and weak justification some way somehow that justifies the U.S. airstrikes. There's still this narrative in the media that the U.S. is launching these operations because Yemen is attacking all shipment that goes through the Red Sea, which is simply not the case. And you know, we constantly repeat this and try to reconquer the true narrative, which is that these attacks or these it's a naval blockade actually. In actuality, as of right now, the armed forces, Yemen's armed forces, they haven't launched an attack against an Israeli-linked ship. Mainly because they haven't been violating, they haven't tried to cross the Red Sea or Bab el-Mandeb unnoticed like they used to 6 months ago and 5 months ago, where then they faced attacks from the naval forces. But why do you think the U.S. is hell and Israel? Why are they so hell bent on trying to establish this dominant narrative that Yemen is attacking the entire world and not just Israel?
They want to believe them that we are hitting all ships to make them ally with them, to support them, to make other countries be with them and allying with them and supporting them with weapons and fighting beside of them, Yemen. And all of countries know that, the world countries know that, that Yemen and armed forces of Yemeni armed forces do not hit any ship of other countries, just the Israeli ones and the American ones that passed the lines of Bab el-Mandeb and will go to Gaza to hit them and strike them. And our armed forces issued statements, a lot of statements, saying always that we are not a threat to any ships other than the Israeli entity ships.
Right, and again, these ships, you know, Israel's economy, 60% of Israel's economy is made up of trade to East Asia, which goes through Bab el-Mandeb and through the Red Sea. So not having access to East Asia is basically preventing Israel from access to 60% of its economy. Make no mistake about it, this naval blockade by Yemen is having a great impact, mainly on Israel's economy. Israel needs its economy to sustain its genocide that it's committing in Palestine. All these points you have articulated very well. I want to ask you, though, where do you think this war is heading towards? Because we know that, as you mentioned, the Sayyid, he stated in his speech that Yemen will meet escalations with escalations. What does that mean? Because we've already seen the hypersonic missiles target Israeli sites, Israeli military sites. We've seen
Yemen, Ben Gurion Airport,
which forced it to close for temporarily. But it's the airlines are not very comfortable. Commercial airlines they're just not very comfortable of flying to Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, in Yaffa. The escalations of military activities, of military attacks from Yemen, if now the limit is the hypersonic missiles and Yemen is threatening to escalate, where do you see these military escalations reach? What new heights can the world expect going forward if tensions continue to rise and if Yemen decides to step up its military operations?
I think we will reach to highest level in confronting Israeli entity. Maybe we will enter Gaza Strip. We will go there and fight them, facing them face to face.
The logistics of it, facing Israel, because protests take to the streets every Friday. Millions of people take to the streets every Friday, saying that they would want nothing more than Saudi Arabia and Jordan to open their borders so that Yemen can march into occupied Palestine and liberate the land of Al-Aqsa. Even the leader of Ansarullah, Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi, he challenged Saudi Arabia, to call Yemen on its bluff and go ahead and open the borders and see if Yemen means what it is saying. obviously they didn't open their borders. So how can there be a direct confrontation against the Israeli entity if countries like Saudi Arabia, Jordan are unwilling to open their border, and in some cases helping out and enabling the genocide and helping out Israel carry out its coordinated operations in Yemen with the U.S.?
We have new weapons. We are developing our military capabilities every day, and we could reach any area, and we could surprise the enemy entity, and we could change the equation as the U.S. Leadership, central leadership, military leadership says, and Israeli media reports saying, and they are they are far from us. They know that we have new abilities to go there and to fight them with the new weapons, and all experts of the world saying that Yemen is the graveyard of invaders. They are strong in along the history, and they can and could do anything if they have a real cause. And we have real cause. We have central cause is the Palestinian cause, and all people of Yemen can go and fight with every ability that they can gain. So we could help our armed forces in military industrial, and we can fight them. Also, we will know, we will see in the next weeks and in the coming weeks, we will witness new weapons enter the confrontation with them, and we will surprise them. The days will prove that.
As a Yemeni woman, what is your message to the world, and especially to other women with resistance, justice, and solidarity in times like this, in times where genocide is being perpetrated against the Palestinian people, and in times of U.S. airstrikes and perhaps even Israeli airstrikes on the horizon, as Netanyahu has threatened also to take military actions against Yemen, since Yemen continues to attack occupied Palestine? What is your message?
My message is for the free people of the world, and especially women, to condemn at least the crimes in Gaza Strip and in Yemen, and whose grievances became clear and became a beacon for the issues of all vulnerable and oppressed people in the world, in the earth. At least come in a position condemning these crimes, and the voice has a strong impact on the Israeli entity. And give your humility, and even there is Israeli and American pan these days. Trump issued a decision to ban any demonstrations or any voice, to silence any voice condemning the Israeli entity crimes, the last of which was the Palestinian student who is in trial now, and Trump wants to expel him from United States because he shout and cry over the crimes of U.S. and Israeli entity on Gaza Strip, and they wanted to expel him. So your voice has an impact on this war, as the martyr leader Sayyid Hussein Badruddin al-Houthi, may Allah mercy on him, says in his first speech addressing Yemenis, said that your voice has an impact. Scream and you will find someone who will scream with you, and the cry and the scream and your voice has impact on them.
Definitely, Yemen has certainly proven to be a symbol of resistance, not just by a public mobilization, also by military mobilization. A lot of people are calling Yemen, Yemenis, the heroes of today's time for their stance with Palestine.
We fight them by all available means.
Exactly, and I think that's something that's somewhat sort of as an inspirational role to not just Muslims, not just Arabs, but also you know, the international community, people all across the world. But you know, I want to thank you for joining us today. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you for joining us in this program of In Your Window into Yemen. Please stay informed and also stay safe.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. Please stay tuned. We must know that the only immaculate beings who are free from any type of sin or mistake are only Allah and His last Imam on earth, Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah, at the moment. The rest of the people are prone to make mistakes or even commit sins. Thus, justly speaking, we are all exposed to satanic temptations and we might do grave mistakes or sins. In better words, nobody is free from satanic traps. As we read in Ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Al-Hijr, I will surely glamorize evil for them on earth, and I will surely pervert them all, except your dedicated servants among them.
کسی که معصوم نیست در تیرس شیطان هست.
Thus, whoever who is not immaculate might be under the glamour of Satan. Another important point is that we are certain about our own sins, but we are not sure about others committing sins. Therefore, we must always consider ourselves lower than others. This sense will lead to a kind of humbleness in front of others. Also, we will never be proud of our deeds, and we always will consider others better than us. This is a good ethical point for those who want to improve in terms of ethics and morality.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. To find more about this program and our other programs, please visit our new website at iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of Hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble Imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
One of the things that is so common in the teens is that they start comparing themselves with others, and then they feel discontent with themselves. Yes, we're going to discuss dissatisfaction and discontent in teens. And Brother Liaqat Abbas is here to help us through, and he'll tell us the solutions, what to do with these teens. And you may have seen like teens are so much unsatisfied with themselves. So be it the body image, like, because the body image concept is so much out there on social media today. It's telling you like there's this perfect, I don't know, so-called body, and they start comparing, be that on the television, be that with celebrities, or be that anywhere else. So, like, this is so common in teens. So what could be done and how to tackle this dissatisfaction?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is extremely common. Why? Because, of course, when it comes to body image, the teens are facing a lot of issue with this. Because they want the perfect image of the body, a perfect face, a perfect color, skin tone, I mean, perfect skin tone, or perfect, hair color, perfect hair, like example, perfect hair with regards to it being curly, or examples in a straightened manner, example,
yeah.
Eye color, everything.
Everything, yeah.
Wearing clothes, shoes, example, when it comes to ladies, like purse, and it goes ahead with like makeup, ornaments, jewelry, I don't know, nail polish and lipstick and stuff.
Yeah.
That side over here, sleeveless, shorts, I don't know, bike and everything, yeah. So everything is mattering, like, okay, so if I sit on this so-and-so bike, I'm going to look good. Okay, if I...
It comes from elite family.
Yeah, example, I'm going to impress other people, example.
Yeah.
Okay, and how am I dressing up is very important. Unfortunately, many teens, like there are millions and millions of teens who feel insecure about their appearance,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And when they compare it to the social influencers, so there are social people like on TikTok, be it on Insta, be it on social media websites. So they are hesitant in order to engage in social activities or wear certain clothes. So like when they have good clothes, the teens are like, okay, if I wear this, I might be outdated.
Yeah.
Okay? So they want new clothes to be brought, new
yeah.
things, new stuff to be brought by their parents in order to get upgraded with the going trend, example. Okay. So what's the solution, example? The first thing is to get a break from the social media. This is the main thing.
Okay.
Like getting a break, which is very difficult, is very important. Why? Because this teen is addicted to social media. So everything is from there.
Yeah.
Okay? So get a break from social media. Don't go to those social influencers, those celebrities. Unfortunately, you know what? When it comes to psychology, there are many celebrities who have this disorder. Like they have disorders.
Okay.
Disorder of grandiosity. Like they want themselves to be shown. They
yeah.
want themselves to be praised. This is a kind of disorder.
Yeah.
Narcissism, what
yeah.
we say. Yeah. And there's another disorder called histrionic. Anyways, we don't want to go inside it. Where they want praise
attention,
to happen.
Praise,
so what they're going to
yeah.
do, they're going to apply a lot of lipstick, example. They're going to make their body shape in a perfect manner. Why?
Right.
Because they want a lot of praise.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break here. And it's needed to ponder on these things. And we'll get back to you.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat is helping us with dissatisfaction. Well, we said that teens, when they compare themselves with the social media celebrities or anyone who looks like kind of so-called perfect apparently, and they have this discontent and dissatisfaction with their physical appearance. So how to help out these teens, especially like, because like we have girls, and when in Islam we are taught modesty and to be not to be showing off and not to be a center of attraction in that phase. We are facing a world when this has become a competition and this has become something that represents you, basically.
Yep. So these celebrities, even they go through a lot of surgeries in order to make their body like shape perfect.
Yeah.
Or example, in order to get proper
appearance.
Appearance with regards to face, with regards to teeth even.
Yeah.
And they spend like thousands to like even hundreds,
yeah.
hundreds of thousands of dollars on this.
Yeah.
Because there was a kind of investigation, research, I would say, which was done on those celebrities who kind of implant their teeth.
Yeah.
And it really costs a lot, really a lot, in order to implant one teeth. So it's not like they don't have perfect teeth from day one,
right?
But they make it in that manner, so that because they are going to be a public figure, or they are a public figure,
right?
So they want to show it in the best manner. So this teen, unfortunately, he or she looks at that particular celebrity or social influencer, and the person is like, oh my God, I don't have these kind of teeth, I don't have this kind of eye color, I don't have this kind of skin tone, or I don't have these kind of, example, hair color, example, you see?
So it's like when you feel like these are the things, they define you. So who has to come and teach them this is not something that defines you?
Exactly. So the solution is basically to get rid of these kind of people, number one. Get a break from
social media. Take a break from social media.
And focus on self-acceptance. You know, in the world, there are billions of people whose body image, hair color, whatever, is like other people.
Yeah.
Like, example, my skin color is no more different than any other person.
Right.
Even the person, I didn't go through any kind of surgery. Example, even other people, they didn't go through any kind of surgery in order to get a kind of special hair color or eye color or skin color or whatever color. Yeah. So I'm like, I am me. So accept it. Like, I am me, and I have to focus on accepting myself rather than saying, oh, I want to be like him or her. You see, this is the first step. So there are 2 points. Number one is
taking a break from social media.
Not following those kind of people.
Stop feeding your soul with that content.
Mm-hmm. Number two is focus on accepting, like on self-acceptance.
Yourself.
Yes,
right. Exactly.
And of course, like surrounding people who accept themselves is very important.
All right. So now you
having friends who have this kind of quality, self-acceptance.
Right. Right. We'll discuss more with you. Mm-hmm. Let's take a short break here, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back. This is Islamic Upbringing. Well, we have been talking about dissatisfaction and discontent. That's a lot there in teens, because they constantly keep on comparing themselves with these so-called perfect figures who appear to be so perfect, or so, I would say, artificial.
Yes.
To me. And they want to look like them. So they are discontent with the physical appearance they have. So how do these girls or these boys come out of this? Brother Liaquat, you said that one is to get rid of social media for some time, take a break, stop feeding your soul with that content that brings you dissatisfaction. Number two, you said acknowledge yourself, accept, have this concept of self-acceptance, and acknowledge the way you're made, and say to yourself that this is not what defines me, and there's something beyond this that defines
me. Exactly.
So, and you were discussing the third point.
Yeah. So the third point is to surround
yourself
with positive influences, and those people who accept themselves. And the fourth point is learning about self-worth beyond appearance. This is very important.
Yeah.
So my appearance is not what defines me.
Yeah.
My worth is not my appearance, unlike other maybe celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, whose worth is in their face. That's it.
Actually,
they don't have anything.
You said, like, as per psychology, they are kind of suffering from this.
They have disorders, unfortunately.
Right.
Of course, this is through a research. Okay?
Right.
I'm not targeting a particular celebrity or something.
Right.
But this is there, okay?
Yeah.
Like, because they want themselves to be praised, so they go ahead with making themselves more beautiful.
And there was also this article recently I went through. I was saying that I don't remember the name of celebrities, though. But I was saying, like, for example, this particular lady in Hollywood, it's considered to be like one of the beautiful women around the world, but she herself is unsatisfied with her particular nose. And there was something else, like similarly, there's another actor who is known for this particular thing, but he himself is unsatisfied with this particular thing of about him. So yeah, like sometimes people praise you with things that you yourself do not acknowledge, but people see that as something good in you. Number one is you yourself acknowledge things.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, also engaging with more friends and like kind of not
who support you.
Yeah, exactly. Who are like who know who you are and who accept how you are.
All right. It's so not like there should be friends who are content first of all with themselves, satisfied with themselves, and when you surround yourself with them, they're going to give you those positive vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like okay, so a particular skin tone example. If a person is having a particular skin tone, it doesn't make any difference with another particular skin tone. Why? Because it's a creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And upon
embrace,
the creation of Allah,
embrace the variety.
Exactly, yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such a person in that manner. Example, a person is created with white skin tone. A person is created with a black skin tone.
Yeah.
And everyone is beautiful in their own manner.
Yeah.
So this is there. So, and what is important here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the appearance.
It's the piety.
It's the piety.
Piety and taqwa. Indeed. And yeah, thank you, brother. That was
all
the time we have for today's episode. Thank you, dear listeners. Teach your children piety, because piety is something that's going to count, not the physical appearance. Because rosy lips, rosy cheeks, they're going to fade away one day, because they are all time's fool. Thank you for listening. Until another episode, take good care of yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is time. Big and small, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Lebanese president condemns a recent Israeli occupation air raid on southern Beirut as an indication of Israel's hostile intentions toward his country. Israel's genocidal campaign in the Gaza Strip claims more than 40 Palestinian civilian lives in a single day. And Iran marks the 46th anniversary of the historic referendum in which Iranians voted overwhelmingly in favor of departure from monarchical rule and establishment of the Islamic Republic. Hello everyone and welcome to World News. In our top story, the recent deadly assault by the Israeli regime on southern Beirut has received condemnations from Lebanese officials. President Joseph Aoun has slammed the airstrike as Israel's hostile intentions vis-a-vis Lebanon. Parliament Speaker Nabi Berri says Israel's act constitutes a violation of the truce agreement facilitated by the United Nations. He suggested that recent security incidents in southern Lebanon